Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. This is Shireen Jones, and this evening I'll be interviewing Brian Bristow and Alfred McDonald of the Elks. It is Wednesday, July the 15th, and we're meeting at about 7 o'clock here at the Sam Waller Museum in the Rotary Room. So I'll get Brian to introduce himself.
I'm Brian Bristow. I'm the exalted ruler of the Elks.
Okay, and then Alfred.
I'm Alfred McDonald, and I'm the secretary of the Elks.
Okay. Now, since I let you both review the questions, I don't know if there's anything I shouldn't ask, but the first one here is, if I knew nothing about your organization, how would you explain it to me?
I'd have to read.
Okay, Brian's brought something here for us to review. Looks like a calendar cover.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually has the history of the Elks of Canada, which was founded on September 26, 1912, and incorporated under a Special Dominion of Canada Charter. So the first lodge was established in Vancouver, and officers and members expanded the Elks organization across Canada. So from what I understand, the Elks is a service organization, so they do a lot of volunteer activities to improve communities. Is that correct?
Community service and also children's.
Okay.
Children's needs, sort of thing.
Okay.
Yep.
So what? How does it pertain to children's needs, like some healthcare, education, recreation?
Hearing. Speech and hearing problems,
okay.
For one, and then we do other stuff too for the children. Like we've given iPads and stuff to the school here for some of their students that are
can't afford it,
can't comprehend being told that they can understand reading it.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
All right.
Yeah. And help special needs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And there used to be a hearing, whatever you call it, a machine for testing hearing and that, in the provincial building at one time. And that was sponsored by the Elks.
Okay.
Not only locally, but
for the
Canadian-wide.
Region?
Yeah. The Canadian Elks helped sponsor it too. But.
And we also support information on alcohol and drug abuse.
Okay.
And some lodges have artistic competitions, where people paint and
poster contests,
yeah.
Okay.
That is done through the schools.
Yeah.
All right.
And so the Elks provides prizes and scholarships and that.
Okay. Now, this work that you're talking about with the hearing testing and the drug and alcohol awareness, has that been something you've done historically, or is that more into modern times or contemporary times?
It's I don't know how many years ago they quit doing it here.
Okay.
Because we kind of worked closely with schools.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if the teachers from the schools were interested, in taking this on in their jobs and working with us, then. But if they were too busy, then it didn't happen.
Okay.
But we also fund, that spray park. We're trying to get it going. And anything to help children.
Okay.
But we don't go and spread it around. We just kind of do everything under the table. And also if parents, have children who require special needs, then they can apply to the Elks for extra help.
Okay.
Yeah. And the money from that usually comes from Grand Lodge itself, for special needs, some of the special needs stuff.
All right. Now, what prompted you to join the Elks of Canada? Like, at that time, there's so many other service groups to join. Why the Elks?
I joined because the people I was curling with at the time belonged to the Elks.
Oh, okay.
They're like in the same age group and that, so we started to get drawn in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I joined because some of the people I worked with, like Don Dzwinka,
yeah,
you know, he was active in the Elks, and at back then I was involved in air cadets.
Okay.
And actually the air cadet squadron in the PAW was started or funded by the Elks.
Oh, wow.
So the proper name is 303 the PAW Elks.
Okay.
Yeah, like usually what they do is they don't say Elks because, see, the Legion Elk, the Rotary, like in terms of donations.
Financial assistance. Yeah.
So, so that was kind of my connection, you know, to get in there, and it's been good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, good. Now, in your opinion, what are the ups and downs of being a member?
I really don't know.
Okay.
The upside is, I guess the upside is the friends and whatnot that you meet through the Elks and that.
Mm-hmm.
The downside, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess the downside is that there's not as many members as there used to be because people are busier.
That's the downside right now, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And the upside was, you know, the social kind of part of it and being a, you know, a community service club.
Okay.
You know, so that's a good feeling, knowing you can help the community.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, how long have you been a member of the Elks?
I believe 35 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
You were thinking...
I was thinking probably 25. I thought I might have joined around 1990 or 88.
Okay. I could have brought those records, I guess, if I had thought about it. But it would be somewhere around there for us, yeah.
Okay. Now, could you talk about some of the projects or programs that you've participated in? I realize you mentioned that with the hearing clinic and then with your poster contest for prevention of drug and alcohol.
And the air cadets.
The air cadet squadron was one of our main things. Well, there's a list of others. We've helped the Rotary Club with the upgrade to the sound system in the arena.
Okay.
The Rotary Club had benches or whatever made for the rodeo grounds. We helped them with that.
Okay.
The flagpole at the end of the bridge there, we paid some of that expenses for that.
Okay.
And the monument for the along the walking path there that overlooks the river
boat
dock.
That's right, you did help with that.
That is there.
Okay. Now, what did it entail in setting up the local cadet squadron? Because I always thought it was here, but I didn't realize the service group was involved with getting it organized.
I have no idea. This has been going on for many years.
Right.
I think one of those
goes back to some of our older members, Tom Mack and Gordon Turner.
Yeah.
Gordon Turner was the commander of the Air Cadets Squadron for many years.
Okay.
Before, and then Murray Harvey, and then Doug Long just stepped down as commanding officer and passed it over.
Mm-hmm.
And Barry Kreller,
Barry Kreller was involved in that too.
Yeah. He owned the A&W years ago. But he and his wife, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't say in the book here when anything about the air cadets.
The nice thing about the air cadets is it doesn't cost anybody anything to join. Like, everything is free, all the summer camps and, and things.
Yeah, it's all funded by us sponsoring bodies or by the... Actually, the military supplies them with a lot of sleeping bags and stuff like that when they do a camp out thing.
Oh, wow. That's pretty interesting. Good.
Yeah.
Okay, now, what have you learned from having, or from being a member or having been a member? I understand you're both current members of the Elks? Okay, so what have you learned?
I was thinking back, like, certainly how to run meetings and, you know, initiate projects. And annually, if people were had the time to go, there's usually a conference once a year.
There's all, like, at different locations.
Canada.
There's a provincial conference every year, and then there's a Canadian conference every year that we can attend. I've never attended any of them. But some of our members have.
Did they find it was worthwhile going?
You get your concerns heard of what you have, concern you may have from your community sort of thing, or from your district. Our, like, our district here is made up of, or was made up of Flin Flon, Snow Lake, Thompson, and the Paw. So there was a four lodges, so then.
And we would have an annual meeting, you know, and it would kind of rotate.
Well, that's nice.
You know, Thompson or Flin Flon, or Snow Lake. And actually, one of the strongest, lodges was Snow Lake.
Now, do you still have your annual meetings with the four cities?
No, just about all of the Elks have given up on having annual spring meetings now. They try and get one person elected from each lodge to maybe get together with a member from one of the other lodges and stuff and whatever, sort of make up a little letter of whatever and send it to the Grand Lodge for what they'd like to see done.
So why do you think this has happened, that meetings are no longer...
Travel. That was a big thing here, was travel. We ended up starting always going to Snow Lake, which is still like 2.5 hours for... Well, it was 2.5 hours for everybody to get there, more or less.
And usually these meetings were on weekends too, because everybody was working. And you know, to take a day off, you know, to go to these other locations.
Okay. Now, is there a general reaction that someone has after learning you are a member of the Elks?
I don't think so. It's the same as finding out that somebody was a member of the Kinsmen or the Lions or whatever. It's it's nothing out of the ordinary, I don't think.
I guess, you know, almost all the service clubs are losing members. And so they're always asking, you know, well, why don't you, you know, you could still be a member of the Elks and join us. And because the numbers are getting lower, and at one time the Kinsmen was really growing, but now, you know, they're getting less in numbers too.
Less and less. For an example, when I joined, there was 125, 26 or some members of the Elks.
In the Paw?
In the Paw.
Oh my goodness, that's lots.
But like that's 30 some odd years ago or whatever. And today,
you have how many members?
Six.
Wow.
And six life members. So there's 12 of us all together. The life members, I think there's only about one that lives in town. The rest are, most of them live in BC now, or
okay.
sunny and warm.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Holy.
Mm-hmm.
Now with this decline, what do you think that could be? Alfred and I were talking a little bit about it before you came. With right now there are so many other opportunities mm-hmm. for people to entertain yeah. themselves outside of work.
A lot of the problem here with members was that to get younger members in, a lot of them worked at the, either for the railroad or for the refap back then,
mm-hmm.
and they worked shift work.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah. then they got married, and then there's a little baby, and well,
yeah. mm-hmm.
you come home at 8 o'clock at night. You're not running away to a meeting when yeah. you should be staying home with
yeah.
the children or whatever sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like 12-hour shifts, eight to eight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's
you don't
pour on and pour off.
Yeah.
And when you're mm-hmm. off, you're...
Yeah.
yeah.
You know, it, then it was whether you hit your day off, hit the
mm-hmm.
thing. I know they find it the same. Like, I belong to the curling club.
Mm-hmm.
And we find it the same there for curling. Is, there's people that'll curl. They might curl 1 week, and they might not be there for 2 weeks because they're on shift work and they, mm-hmm. they can't come now.
Yeah.
So a lot of the teams now, instead of four players, they have five players.
That's right.
So
okay.
the two guys can switch off. One's working and the other one can play.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, you have a small group belonging to your your lodge right now. So what are the age ranges currently? Average age.
I don't know.
There, I think there is.
I'm 68, so.
Yeah, I think everyone's over 65.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. That's
yeah,
the way it goes.
The way it is. Yeah. What do you like most about your organization?
Well, when we were regular, having regular meetings and stuff, it was good. There was the meetings, and then there was whatever other fundraising activities we had to do or
mm-hmm.
work at or help with and stuff. And it was, you know, a social outing sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian and some others, they did bingo every week.
Yeah, there's bingo Monday night. We
you know,
have Monday night bingo.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. at the old Elks Hall, which is the
okay.
Métis Center.
Because oh.
that, after the one burned near the hotel uptown,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
then they built that one, and so they ran
mm-hmm.
bingo every night, and I guess what...
So you ran it every night, not once
no,
a week?
Once a week.
Once
okay.
a week.
Yeah, Monday nights.
Yeah.
But that hall would be packed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that used to fund some of your
yeah.
fundraising activities, the
yeah.
proceeds
yeah.
from that?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That would be great.
All of our donations came out of what we raised at bingo or any other fundraising activities like, but,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Now, for these bingos, did you always have enough volunteers to run it?
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Because the Royal Turple also
yeah,
helped.
The ladies.
The ladies side of it.
Okay.
Which,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't exist here anymore
yeah.
because they folded. But they would sell, you know, sandwiches and...
Yeah, the canteen.
The canteen.
Yeah.
And a couple of them helped with selling
yeah.
bingo cards.
So at the time you were running those bingo fundraisers, did you have the kitchen set up there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. That would have been...
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
And then the casino came.
Really?
and that killed bingo, because there used to be bingo... 7 nights a week.
Yep.
In the ball.
Yeah, it,
like every, you know, the Legion had their.
Yeah,
night
but I thought theirs was Wednesday night.
Yeah, and the Knights of Columbus had their
mm-hmm.
night, so
okay.
seven nights a week there was bingo.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, you got. Oh yeah, those hurt.
We'll continue with the interview.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the, like for bingo for all the service clubs.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite. Like there was. 4 nights, 5 nights a week, plus Friendship Center used to have a bingo on Sunday nights.
Oh, okay. Wow.
But like Alfred said, then came the casino and...
Well, when did the casino arrive here? Was it here in 2000 or 2001?
Something like that.
Something like that.
All right.
Because, well, they ran bingo too. Remember in that part of the Infinite Game Mall, I called it the Roller North?
Yeah. That was the other thing that the OCN started their own, built their own hall and started their own bingos, and they ran five nights a week.
Okay.
And then we started losing.
Yeah.
Losing people, numbers.
Instead of 200 and some, 200 and some people, we were down to 100 and some people.
Yeah, that's quite a drop.
100 people was break even, providing you didn't give any of the big pots away.
That's right. Okay.
So yeah. We had to one of the last game of the night was worth $5,000 if you bingoed on 51 numbers or less.
Okay.
Which didn't happen too often, but.
No, but.
But still, when it did happen, you
yeah, there it goes.
There goes the money.
Yeah.
But, yes.
Okay. Now, what do you like the most about the Elks?
Well, I think it's working with other members and, helping the community. Like, it's a good feeling to participate in projects and then, seeing things happen, but we give money to the Simon House Bible Camp, and just say, take this money and send some kids to camp, because otherwise they wouldn't, be going to camp in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way that we help children is by providing access.
Okay.
But it's a good feeling, and also some of their members, they write thank you letters and all those kinds of things.
Well, that's nice.
We also gave money to the Scouts. And to the Girl Guides when they, I forget how many years ago, but the Scouts went to the Maritime Provinces and I think the Girl Guides went to Ottawa or whatever.
Oh,
and
wow.
Helped.
Okay.
Helped.
Wow.
Boost their fundraising sort of thing. But
yeah.
That would have been great.
Yeah. So it was nice. And we got recognized for it with thank you cards and whatnot. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have a story you can share that has to do with the Elks?
It's all secret.
Yeah.
We were sworn to secrecy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. I don't know. The only thing is, some of the trips for Spring District meeting where we went all... 8-10 of us went on one bus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was exciting.
Yeah.
And whatnot, but yeah, so. But other than that, I don't know.
I think it's just the socialization.
Mm-hmm.
You would see people on a regular basis, tell stories.
So with the bus trip, what type of bus did you take? A regular school bus or something more comfortable?
The Air Cadets bus,
which
would have been a retired school bus sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. which we probably helped buy.
We paid
for it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we paid for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Now, how would you personally describe the Elks? What does that mean to you?
I don't really know. Describe it. So.
What about you, Alfred?
Well, when we first joined, like, we had our regalia to wear, you know, like,
okay.
with the hats and the white pants, and but then as you know, as things changed, you know, people just kind of come in their regular clothes now.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the big changes in a lot of service clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing away with the regalia or fancy dressing stuff, yeah.
Now, where would you get your clothing and your accessories for?
From Grand Lodge.
Okay,
Yeah.
Okay.
They had a.
You'd get your merchandise.
I don't know what they had. I guess they had a tailor or whatever or someplace that made the blue blazers or the.
Okay.
No.
So it was blue blazers. Was it a white shirt and black trousers or?
White trousers and the blue blazers and then the purple. Actually, the blazer is more purple.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
More like those colors.
Okay. And he's showing me some badges of the Paw Elks. So one of them's white and sort of a dark purple. And the other one has black trim, dark purple, and some gold embroidery.
No, these are all black and white.
Well, that's the purple.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, and Alfred showed me the cover of the book, A History of the Elks of Canada, 75 years, 1912 to 1987. So you joined towards the end of that, from 87, 88?
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, a member from the PAW started the Fund for Children.
Right.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Like nationally.
Yeah, who was that person? Can you remember?
I know it's written in
what's
there.
What's his first name? It was Wadelia.
Yeah.
Was it Eric?
Eric.
Yeah, it was Eric.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Eric Wadelia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow,
he's the one that proposed the Fund for Children idea to Grand Lodge.
Okay.
And it was approved.
No.
And of course, then they tried to steal it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he was recognized for it as being founding.
How is he related to Bon Wadelia? Is he his brother or his uncle, his father?
That was his dad.
It was his dad. Okay.
Yeah, because Olive was.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Who just died?
Yeah.
Olive was Eric's wife.
Yeah.
I see.
So that was Bon's dad.
Yeah,
Bon's
dad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they had three boys or so.
Yeah.
And a daughter, me.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of the.
Okay. Now, that's certainly up there in what I would think would be one of your group's greatest accomplishments, but can you think of any other great accomplishments that you guys have done that you haven't already mentioned?
Mm-hmm. Not really, no.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No.
But I guess the nice thing is it shows that that someone from a small community like the PAW has an idea and it can be recognized and established nationally.
Yeah, that's,
you know, like helping kids. So so
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the final question I have here is, do you think your time within the Elks has been well spent?
I think so.
Yeah.
Hopefully somebody somewhere will remember that we did make a difference to something in this town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I hope so too.
Yeah.
I guess we're trying to do this with this online exhibit now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have anything else you'd like to add before we conclude the interview?
I've got some little bit of history here.
Okay.
Like the lodge itself was started in October of 1926.
All right.
And our original hall was lost on January 1st, 1987. And then the new building was built. And we did have a few members that made it all the way to the Grand Lodge. Adam Demnick was Grand Exalted Ruler of Canada in 1965 and 1966.
For all of Canada.
Yeah.
So.
And I will leave the book with you. And you
okay.
If you,
so starting from page 229?
229.
Okay.
Here you can show them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's not a lot in there, but it does give you that. And in apparently in 1949, DePaul was chosen as Town of the Week by Ogilvie Flour Mills, and we were given $100 for the community involvement.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
So I don't know what other else you could find in this, but
okay.
There's a little bit of
oh, thank you.
Something. Yeah. And this.
Okay.
And there's a CD there.
Okay.
I don't remember. I've listened to it, but I don't remember what's on it now.
Okay.
But it's information about the Elks.
Great. Okay. So these will just be on loan for the purpose of developing the exhibit, and I'll get them back to you.
You can keep them if you would like.
Okay.
If you would like to keep the book and put it in your.
Okay, I will conclude this interview now. Thanks for coming, gentlemen.
You're welcome.